Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is the power of your word, and the numbers to call for coaching on having what you want in any area of your life are 1-866-254-1579. It's toll free, so if you want to get in early, you can listen to the show while you wait, 1-866-254-1579, or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. I wanted to begin the show today with a story, and it's a story that I wrote a few years back, and it just, for me, illustrates what I mean when I talk about the power of your word. So I'm just gonna talk for a bit. And again, I'll be taking your calls after the story, 1-866-254-1579, toll free. So this story is called The Power of Your Word, and it goes a little something like this. Once upon a time, there was a wise old woman who had the ability to heal the wounded and ensure the success of almost any endeavor by the judicious use of the power of her word. It was also rumored amongst those that had heard of her powers that she refused to teach her secret to anyone for fear they might use it for harm instead of good. One day, an earnest young man decided to put these rumors to the test. He went to the wise old woman and challenged her. "I've heard it said that you have the power to heal the wounded and ensure the success of almost any endeavor using nothing more than the power of your word," the young man began. "That is true," the wise old woman said. "I've also heard," the young man continued, "that you've refused to share the secrets of your power for fear that it might be abused by those less scrupulous than yourself." "That is also true," replied the wise old woman. "I am a man of honor," the young man said boldly. "I want to share your wisdom that I too might gain your power. What can I do to prove to you my sincerity and my worth?" The wise old woman smiled at him kindly. "I doubt neither your sincerity nor your worth, for your sincerity pours forth from your eyes, and your worth has been yours since the moment of your birth. As for the power, it is not mine to give, but I will teach you the secret to access it within yourself if you agree to follow my instructions exactly as I give them to you." When the young man excitedly agreed, the wise old woman handed him three scrolls with the following direction. The first scroll was to be opened at sunrise on the very next morning. As soon as the instructions on the first scroll had been followed to the letter, the next scroll could be opened. And when the instructions on that scroll had been carried out in full, the contents of the final scroll could be revealed. Well, the next morning, the young man awoke long before dawn, unable to sleep with anticipation of what was about to be revealed. The moment the sun appeared over the peak of the tallest mountain, he broke open the seal of the first scroll. Here is what he read. "You must climb to the top of the tallest mountain. Take with you three things: enough food to sate your hunger, a knife sharp enough to kill the fiercest lion, and a pillow filled with feathers soft enough to ease the most troubled sleep." The young man was indeed sincere in his desire, and he did exactly as the scroll said. After many days and nights, he finally reached the top of the tallest mountain, where he was buffeted by mighty winds. He carefully broke open the seal on the second scroll, holding it tightly lest the wind blow it out of his grasp. Here is what he read. "Use the knife to cut open the pillow and allow the great wind to scatter the feathers to the four corners of the earth." Again, the young man quickly did as he was asked, pausing only to admire the way the wind took hold of the seemingly thousands of feathers, lifting each one and carrying it far into the distance in every direction. He then opened the seal on the third scroll. Here is what he read. "Now, gather up each feather that the wind has taken from the pillow and bring it back safely to me. When you have succeeded in your quest, I will share with you my secret." The young man was nearly overwhelmed by the enormity of the challenge, but he was indeed sincere in his desire to learn the secret of accessing the power of his word. For a full year, he journeyed to the four corners of the earth in search of every feather from the pillow. When the year was over, he returned to his village defeated. Because he was indeed a man of honor, he returned to the wise old woman's home to admit his failure, but to his surprise, she was no longer there. When he asked after her, he was told that the wise old woman had died. Heartbroken both that he had failed in his quest and that her secret was now buried with her in her grave, the man went to the cemetery to pay his respects. instead of flowers, he left a vase filled with the few feathers he had managed to gather up in his travels around the world. But no sooner had he placed the vase atop her stone than an old gravedigger appeared and handed him a familiar-looking scroll.
"Begging your pardon, sir," the gravedigger said in a raspy voice, "but I was told to give this to the first one who visited the grave with feathers as a gift."
The young man hurriedly broke the seal on the fourth and final scroll. Here is what he read. "Like the feathers in your pillow spread by the wind, every word you utter goes out in the world never to be returned. If you speak words of anger, despair, envy, and desolation, they will cut through others like the sharpest knife, and you may never be able to fully undo their effect. If you speak words of love, kindness, appreciation, and hope, you will never need to try. Your words will carry throughout the world like feathers in the wind, bringing rest to the weary, comfort to the sick, and hope to the downtrodden. When you truly recognize that each word you speak has the power to cut like a knife or comfort like a pillow, your word will be your wand, and that which you have been seeking will be yours." We're going to go to the phones and the numbers to call if you want to get in, talking about any area of your life where you'd like to have what you want. 1-866-254-1579, or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. Let's go to the phones and let's go to Dolly in Ontario. Dolly, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi. I'm so confused and mixed up here. I'm hoping someone can give me a lead here.
Okay, me too. I'll hope with you.
Okay, my son has broken up with his wife for the last 13 and a half years, and I'm deceased. My husband's deceased. I'm on my own, so I'm trying to do what I can for him. And he planned on him and I moving in an apartment together till he gets on his feet, and then he's just sold his home. But financially, they're really having hard times. And he's been drinking a lot and into dope. One day he's fine, and the next day he goes off track again. And I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. I'm not young. I'm 74 years old. And I'm trying my best to see what I can do for him. But I don't know. Sometimes it seems like it's ironing out. And sometimes, you know, then he takes off and goes for a day and a night. And I don't know.
Dolly, if you could wave your magic wand, what would you want for him? What would you wave it for him?
I would want him to settle down and get away. He got a child that's 9 years old. I would just like for him to settle down and live a normal life. And I'm sure there's better life out there ahead for him. He's still a young man, good looking man, a good job. I really don't know where to turn.
Okay. Well, the best place to turn that I can tell you is inside. Because there isn't a right answer. In other words, there isn't, what you need to do is you need to call this number, you know, 1-800-GET-MY-SON-OFF-DRUGS, and they'll just sort it out for you, and he'll give you a call on Mother's Day. You know, if that was out there, that would be wonderful. I would be sending you the number. But what I do know is that we don't actually control other people. You've probably figured that out in 74 years.
Right.
So what we do control is a few things. We control the way we see things. In other words, whether we see it as a crisis or a difficulty or a challenge or an opportunity, we actually have a bit of control over that. Whether we see him as, you know, past help, or we see him as somebody who's in a lot of pain and doing his best to deal with it, or we see him as an evil drug dealer, you know, we have the choice to see the world the way we want to see it. That's one choice you've got. A second choice that you've got is how you want to be in relation to him. So some people would choose to be incredibly judgmental. Some people would choose to be disappointed. Some people would choose to be curious and wonder what's gone on with him to get him to this point. Some people might choose to be unconditionally loving and just decide that even if it means bringing him cookies in jail, they're just going to love him. That's another choice you get.
Yeah. But the
third choice you get is what to do. And the problem is most people want to know what to do before they've chosen how to see and how to be. So how would you like to see your son?
I would like to see him straighten out his life and live right, or, you know.
But would you like to see him right now as you know, messed up, hopeless, helpless?
No.
Okay, so how would you like to see the way he is right now?
sometimes he's fine. Some days he's right normal. Like
okay, but what about the days when he's not?
Then he goes astray, and then I hate him, you know?
Okay. So why would you choose to hate him if you don't want to hate him?
I don't want to hate him, but everybody in my family's tell me, kick him to the curb. He's an, you know?
Okay.
And I mean, he's not.
I didn't quite catch this when we started. Are you in a family of drug and alcohol counseling experts?
Yeah, he is going to.
No. Is your family the people who are telling you to kick him to the curb?
No, they're.
Okay, so then their advice is probably very well-meaning, but not necessarily worth listening to.
But they're angry about it, you know, and it's
okay, well,
it's
good for
really
them.
Hurting.
Look,
it's
Dolly,
really hurting to me, though, the things that they say to me.
Sure,
you know?
But you know what? If they want to get over their anger, then they can call the show, too. But I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Okay? So I don't really care what they say.
No, but it's nerve-wracking to me, huh?
Okay,
no.
Right. But I care about your nerves being racked.
Uh-huh.
See, because you're the one I'm talking with. And I know that you don't control how they use the power of their word against your son and against you.
Mm-hmm.
But I absolutely know that you have choices about how you choose to be moment by moment. Do something for me right now. Would you just put your hand on your heart? Just right over your physical heart?
Uh-huh.
And just take a nice deep breath into your heart. Okay. And take another slow, gentle breath into your heart. And then when you're ready, just take a third slow, gentle breath into your heart. And just think a happy thought. Think about somebody that you love that you're at peace with right now. Nothing to do with what we're talking about. Just find a happy thought in there. Just focus on it till you can feel sort of a warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart. Do you feel that?
No, not really.
Okay, so it might just be that for you right now, the best thing you can do for yourself is get yourself to a place of at least neutral. Because here's the thing. When you're upset, and I understand why you're upset. Everyone listening understands why you're upset. Not one person on this planet would blame you for being upset. But when you're upset, you're seeing through the eyes of upset.
Uh-huh.
And anything that you see about the situation is going to look horrible because you're looking through a lens, you're looking through glasses that are all scratched. So the first thing for you to do, if you want to do what you can do about this, is to find at least a place of neutral inside you. You might not be happy, you might not be dancing, but you're okay. You know that you're okay. You know that whatever happens, it's going to be okay.
I try to feel that way, and I keep thinking things are going to be fine. You know, we're getting ready to move in an apartment. Got all the things that we need out of this house, what he got from the girl and woman he was with, which was very little. But he seems to let things, you know, let her have it, and I'll get more. And mm-hmm. then he talks sensible, and then, you know, then they'll do it tomorrow, you know. And
okay. So again, Dolly, when you tell me about what your son does,
yeah.
That's what your son does. Mm-hmm. Okay. Remember rule one, you don't control other people.
No.
Same
no.
thing. Look, where it was. So what I'm saying to you, and I can only say it, right? You know, you'll hear it, you won't, you'll try it, you won't. And it'll be fine either way.
And I try not to be nasty with him.
But here's how you'll know, Dolly, here's how you know. Oh. Okay. If you're feeling peaceful, courageous, accepting, loving, kind, any of those feelings, trust your impulse. That when you have that, it'll happen. It might be only moments throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in those moments, that's when to tune in. That's when to trust yourself. That's when to ask yourself, okay, what would be good to do? How can I be of service here? Given that it's him doing it, what can I do to be of support to him? When you're feeling worked up, nerve-wracked, upset, scared, alone, all those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That's a time to just go, I need to be kind to me right now because my judgment is impaired. In a way, you know, your son's got his drug problem. You've got your drug problem because when you're upset like that, you're on your internal drugs. And those internal drugs mess up your perception of your son in the same way as the external drugs he takes can mess up his perception of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're aware of that, that's all you got to do is your best. It's all you can do.
I try not to let him know. You know, I try to give him all the love I can and all the encouragement, you know. I don't talk too much with him. I don't get on his tail, you know, to say, mm-hmm. do this, do that, or nothing. I just leave him alone and say, you know, what do you want to do or something,
and,
you know.
And Dolly, that if you do that one thing of listening to yourself and acting on your inner wisdom when you're feeling good in yourself and just kind of letting it go and sitting back and letting it be when you're not, you're going to make the best decisions that can be made in this situation.
I have some good friends that we're both staying with right now for another couple of weeks till we move into the apartment, and they're very sweet people, and they're so kind and good to us. But Richard just wanders off all night, never comes back.
And that's the thing, Dolly. He's going to keep doing what he does, and the only thing you've got control over, how you choose to see it, how you choose to be about it, and then what you choose to do. Thanks very much for phoning in, and we will be right back with more of your calls right after
this.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back and we're talking with you about any aspect of your life where you want to have more of what you want and how you can use the power of your word to support yourself in doing that. And let's go to Penny in Keller, Texas. Penny, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
My call. I have a new recent career as an artist. Okay. I just turned 50. Last August, and the last couple of years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I took.
Well done. Not everyone makes it, you know.
I know, yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I it's sort of like, you know, a second life and a whole new career, and I'm just having a little bit of a struggle in how to market myself, sort of how to get out there and let people know what I do. And I have two kids that I raise, and my husband's starting his own business, so we've mm-hmm. wrapped up in all that kind of thing. And husband's career has been first and his education. So I kind of feel at 50 now it's my turn.
Okay.
And, but I'm just a little bit lost on how to get out there.
Okay. Well, here's a few questions just to get some, more information, fill out the picture. Mm-hmm. What kind of an artist in terms of paintings, sculptures?
I'm a decorative artist is what I started doing. You know, painting greeting cards and pieces of furniture, that sort of thing. And then that developed into murals and trompe l'oeil, and I paint fabric and clothing and basically paint anything that doesn't move.
Right. Okay. And so are you looking for commissions, or are you looking to get your work out into the world more?
I'm mostly getting my work out there and just advertising myself. I keep thinking in different avenues, like, you know, eBay stores and internet. I know internet is the huge selling aspect right now, but
one of my favorite sites. I always mention it whenever artists call, because I just think I think Marissa, who does this site, has done it really well. If you go to a site called creativethursday.com, you'll see an example of how an artist who I know has just done a wonderful job of making her work accessible by the internet, and she then also has things that show in galleries and you know, it started out as a you know, not much going on there, and has become just an incredible.
It seems to me, the way, from what I understand from other people, that's the only way to go. We're also thinking about making a move from Texas back to California.
Mm-hmm.
My another big fear is, you know, I get a clientele going, or, you know, to buy, get a store, or rent a storefront. I don't know how long we're going to be here, so I'm just a little uneducated on the whole internet thing, you know.
Right. Well, so look, one of the nine obstacles, there are essentially nine obstacles that people come up against when they go for what they want. And the first of the nine obstacles is just a lack of information.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it may be that simple, that because all that happens, right, we know what we want, we get clear on what we want, and we go for it. Mm-hmm. And then we get stuck somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we either make a big deal out of the stuckness, or we go, oh, I'm stuck. I need a nudge. Where am I stuck? I'm stuck here. Okay, let me nudge myself back into the flow, and then I'll keep going till the next time I get stuck. And so all that it sounds like to me is, okay, so you're a little stuck, and it sounds like maybe where you're stuck is there's a lack of information about how do I do stuff on the internet.
Right.
And so the basic guideline with anything where you're looking for information is follow your nose in terms of follow what's actually interesting to you.
Mm.
So go on the internet, go onto Google, and type marketing my art. And you'll find a bunch of stuff will come up.
Okay.
Some of it will be trying to sell you things. Some of it won't be. Some of it will really intrigue you. some of it will lead to soft porn, and I apologize now. It's just the nature of the internet.
I know.
But, you
know,
you pick and choose. You follow what's interesting to you. You surf the net. And what happens is there will be things there, and something there will just trigger something, and you'll go, ooh, I want to know more about that.
Yeah.
So then you can type that into your search engine, and you start to explore that way.
Okay.
And it is. It's the wonderful thing about the internet. The other thing you can do offline is you can go to people. It's something Barbara Sher, who's a wonderful author, has written a lot of books about living the life you love. Mm-hmm. And she calls this the wish obstacle solution. Mm. And you create a sentence that goes, it has your wish and it has what stops you. And so your wish obstacle sentence might be something like, I really want to get my art out into the world, but I don't know how to get started. Or I really want to get my art onto the internet, but I don't know how to do it. And you just kind of say that to a lot of different people.
Okay.
And what you'll find is, you know how people love to give you advice, particularly when you don't want it?
Yeah.
Well, this is a great way of getting the advice that you do want.
Okay.
Because people want to solve your problems for you. So instead of saying, oh, come on, grow up, manage your own life, you can say, all right, solve my problem for me.
Yeah.
But just don't expect them to actually do it. All they can do is inspire you.
Yeah.
They can point you in directions. And if you keep going inside and following that sort of inner voice that goes, ooh, ooh, ah, ooh, yeah, ooh, that voice will steer you right.
With the internet, though, it's so much that's a little intimidating and overwhelming. It's like you just sort of need that jumping off point.
Right. And honestly, the jumping off point is type marketing art into your search engine.
Yeah. Okay.
And let the games begin.
Exactly. Okay.
You know, and let us know how it goes. We've got a forum on geniuscatalyst.com.
Okay.
And I always love it when people come back and post how they're getting on and post further questions.
Great.
So we got a lot of great coaches there as well.
Good.
Well, all right. Thank you, Penny. It's an absolute pleasure. All right. Let's go to Dan in Philadelphia. Dan, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Yeah. Hi, Michael. I love your show. I love what you do on Genius Catalyst. It's been a great help in my life.
Thank you.
I have one question, and the insight that you've been giving to other people has been helpful to my question, but there's a relationship that I have in my life. It's a woman who I used to be romantic with, but now we're still friends. When we talk, it seems like, and I don't mean to judge her in any way, but it seems like she complains about a lot of things. So I've been applying what your teachings and your advice have been to try to help her out, but it doesn't seem that she's receptive to my advice. And like you said to the other caller that, you know, some people want to give advice and the other person doesn't want to hear it. But I guess, I don't know where to go from here to try to help her out.
Okay, so the thing that I and you'll have heard me talk about it on the show if you listen to the show a lot, but it really does work, which is why I keep going back to it, is if you want to make a difference in someone's life, the most powerful, simple way of doing it that I know is to let them know that you love them unconditionally. In other words, that you're not going to make your good feeling for them dependent on what they do or don't do in their life.
Okay.
And that you believe absolutely that they have the power inside themselves, the power of their word, the power of their choice, to create whatever they want in their life.
Okay.
And that's, if you will be with somebody from that place, they just, things get better. It's not always, in fact, it's rarely the way that you think it should. And it's not like they're going to go, gosh, thank you so much for stop not giving me any advice anymore and not helping me anymore.
Right, right.
But often, actually, it's surprising how often they will do that. Because at some level, they just get that you've just made them and your love for them and your relationship with them more important than them being a certain way or doing a certain thing. And honestly, nobody can ask for more than that. Wow, you value me, you value our relationship more than whether the dishes are clean. Wow, you love me, you value our relationship more than whether or not I, have a positive mental attitude all the time.
Okay.
That's a really wonderful, wonderful gift to give to anyone. And it's a gift that is invariably, not always immediately, because people are used to being sort of... hey, why aren't you trying to help me anymore? Why aren't you trying to steer me anymore? You know, where's that wonderful thing I've been pushing against for all this time? So the, sometimes people kind of miss it at first, but once they get it, it's so gratefully received.
Okay.
All right. Have fun.
Thanks for your time.
Happy exploring, Dan.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. We're going to go back to the phones in a minute. The numbers to call, 1-866-254-1579. It's toll free, 866-254-1579. And, you know, talking about complaining, there's a really great exercise I first came across in a book called Life's Greatest Lessons by a man named Hal Urban. And it's a very simple sounding exercise. Here it is. For the next 24 hours, do not complain to anyone about anything. And if you catch yourself complaining before the 24 hours are up, just begin your 24-hour experiment again. Now, I've got to be honest, it took me over a year after I first heard that simple one day without any complaints exercise to actually try it. And then it took me 8 successive attempts over 4 days before I actually pulled it off. But it was definitely worth it, and I highly recommend it. And I'll give you some more variations on that before we go. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Sue in Wilmington, North Carolina. Sue, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael.
Hello.
I'm on Social Security disability.
Okay.
And I want to separate and divorce from my husband because we don't get along. So I went to a lawyer, and in North Carolina, one person has to move out.
Right.
And my husband will not.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out what can I do in order to make this work, because I could move out, but I can't make money or go to work to support myself.
Okay. And so what would be different about your financial situation if you were living somewhere else? Is the place you live in already completely paid for?
No.
Okay. So I might be missing something. I probably am missing something. But what's different about you living somewhere else and not having, means other than your Social Security benefit, and or staying there and not having means other than your Social Security benefit?
Well, because I'm relying now on my husband's income, where I don't know what the settlement would be when it comes time to that. If mm-hmm. I'd be able to survive on that, how would I accomplish
That's a different question. Look, it's a good question, but that's the question is, am I up for the financial risk involved in getting a divorce?
Right.
That's what I hear is a question. The question of I can't move out. Well, it doesn't matter whether you move out or not. In other words, if you're divorced, and your husband's income is no longer going to support you except in as much as the court and your husband decide that it will. Mm-hmm. So whether you move out, whether he moves out, that's not going to change things. Am I missing something, or does that sound right?
No, that sounds right. Go ahead.
Okay, great. So then the question is for you, okay, is to work out, okay, how much does it take for me to live? And, you know, what do I want to do that I can do?
Right.
And, you know, this is one of those situations, Sue, where it's just a situation. Mm-hmm. And it seems like from inside it at times, I'm sure, like a mountain to climb or a nightmare or a huge problem. Would that be fair?
At times I'm fine with it and I'm ready to go gung-ho. But other times I start wondering and I get scared.
So then I'll say the same thing to you that I said to the caller earlier about that, which is to Dottie. I don't know if you were listening at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
But when you're in those times where you're okay with it and kind of almost feel a bit courageous, it sounds.
Yes.
Those are great times to follow your inner knowing, to act on what you're thinking, and to move forward. Mm-hmm. When you're, because the whole thing is what's happening, what's driving it all is your thoughts. Mm-hmm. So when your thoughts are, I can do this. This is going to be okay. I think, you know what? This is just going to be better than what I've got, and this feels right. When those are your thoughts, you feel okay, and You're open to insight at that point. You're open to your inner wisdom. That voice inside can talk with you and say, you know, go left, Sue, go left. But when you're, you know, in the fear thoughts, the, oh my God, am I going to be able to do this? How's this going to work out? What's the court going to decide? You know, what if I can't? What? At those points, you get to feel bad and your wisdom can't get through because the line's already jammed. So that's an example of, you know, I talk about the power of your word at the beginning of the show as something, how you use your word outside yourself, what you speak.
Yeah.
But really, it's also just true how you use the word inside your head.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fill your head with, you know, I can't, I can't. It's again, I want to make a really clean distinction though. It's not, you mustn't think negative thoughts. Okay, good luck with that. I really don't, I do not know anyone who can not think negative thoughts. I do know a lot of people, and I count myself as one of them, who just don't get that worked up about them.
Right.
They're just thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that, you know, it's that old joke, you know, the problem isn't that you're meeting the wrong guys, it's that you're giving them your phone number. You know, the problem isn't that you've got from time to time these negative thoughts. It's that you take them seriously instead of just dismissing them and moving on to the, okay, you know, this might not be the situation I would choose from scratch, but this is the situation I have, and this is what I know to do.
Right. I do meditate at times, and I get a good feeling, and I try to imagine myself that it's work. I go to, say, the settlement, and it's working beautifully, and I'm getting what I need, and I'm trying to go that way in a positive direction.
And that's a wonderful thing to do. And I would just add to it, imagine that it doesn't turn out the way you'd like it to, and see yourself as still being okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to help a lot. Thanks very much.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
You bet. We're going to come back with more of your calls and more thoughts on the power of your word right after this.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about the power of your word, and we're talking with you about having what you want in any area of your life. Numbers to call, 1-866-254-1579, toll free, 866-254-1579. If you want to find out more about the kind of work that I do, we offer free daily and weekly tips at www.geniuscatalyst.com. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Corey in Ontario. Corey, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. I've actually just discovered the whole network, and I've been listening all morning. I actually started with Mona Lisa, and here we are.
Welcome.
Yeah, it's great. Actually, I've been living, I'm a Canadian, but I was living in Ecuador for the last 10 years.
Okay.
And went down there to do kind of a major turnaround in my life. I've been studying Spanish and the indigenous languages. And I also started my own astrology website in the last 2 years.
Okay, congratulations.
So I'm kind of an interesting case in that people usually call me for advice.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm finding that I actually can use some help right now. I guess it's the Mercury retrograde. But quite truthfully, I am kind of feeling stuck, and I want to pursue my career as an astrologer in North America. And I'm just kind of not sure kind of where I'm going, and it's kind of almost sacrosanct to say this, but I kind of feel like really stuck, even though I should know.
Okay. Have we just lost you? Are you still with us?
No, I'm still here.
Okay. That was just a fun beep. Okay.
Yeah.
So two quick things. I mean, the first one is the idea that because you are able to be of assistance to other people with your astrology, you shouldn't get stuck. Honestly, if because I'm able to be of assistance to people on the radio, I was supposed to have it all together. Oh, my God, would I be off the air tomorrow? You know, I do my best. I enjoy my life, and I'm real human. And I think I highly recommend it. It makes life much easier than trying to sort of be some sort of a perfection monster. In terms of the specific, the stuckness, there's basically nine areas. I mentioned this earlier. There's nine areas where people get stuck. So one area is where they don't know what to do, and they don't know where to go to find out. And that's information. They're missing some information. One is they don't yet have the skills they need to succeed in that area. So that's skill. One is that they believe that it's impossible
or unlikely that it's ever going to work for them, or, you know, well, other people could do it, but I can't do it. And that's mm-hmm. belief.
Right.
One is, I'm just way too stressed out, man. I'm tired. I'm not well. I've got too much going on. I don't have the energy. Okay. And that's health, well-being. One is, you know, I would, but my boss, my spouse, my kids, my friends, they make it difficult for me. I, you know, other people, I can't do it because of other people. Some people get stuck because of motivation. They just don't care enough. I just can't seem to get started. I just can't seem to create the momentum. Some people, it's time. I don't have the time. Some people, I don't have the money. And some people, I'm too scared. So for you, does it feel like you're stuck because you don't know what to do? You know what to do, but you don't feel capable of doing it. You don't believe it can be done. You don't have the energy to do it. Other people get in your way. You just don't seem to care enough. You don't have the time. You don't have the money, or you're scared.
Right. Well, you know, Michael, listening to the list, you know what comes up for me is my health. Because about 2 years ago, I was working at a very kind of famous institute in Quito, Ecuador, and I proceeded to get really, really sick, and I lost my voice. And not only, you know, as an astrologer and a teacher, do you need to have a voice, but to lose it can basically terminate your career very, very quickly. And I'm actually recovering from a very difficult health issue that's been going on in the last couple of years. And so, yes, I'm struggling with the health and the well-being.
Okay, so how specifically is the problems you've had over the last 2 years with your voice stopping you from moving forward now?
Well, just physically, 2 years ago, it hurt to talk.
Oh, no, I get that. And if you were calling the show 2 years ago, I would tell you to stop talking and get off the air so that you could rest your voice.
Yeah.
But, you know, given that now you're able to speak, you've got an internet site, which I assume means that you can do a certain amount of your work through your fingers rather than your voice.
Not really. It's basically the type of a site where you can actually just log on, book a session, and then I call using the wonderful program called Skype, if you have mm-hmm. Skype on your program. And it really works quite well. So,
okay, so then here's something. So, one just quick thing that just suddenly pops into my head is, well, gee, instant messaging. If you can type or have somebody who types for you, that's another way of communicating even on Skype.
Uh-huh.
But putting that to one side, how I'm what I'm not getting is this like a strain for you talking with me now?
No, actually, it feels pretty good. I mean, I'm really happy that my voice has actually recovered to the point where, you know, I can actually have a conversation with someone where I'm not gasping for air,
how long, and if you don't know, this is going to be an experiment I'm going to just suggest would be a great experiment for you to do. How long do you think you could go, you know, given if you gave yourself breaks and took time between sessions, and your voice gets stronger instead of weaker? Because, you know, like any muscle that's atrophied, if you haven't been using your voice for a while, you have to build it back up.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, if you thought of it as a sort of an exercise thing, would an hour a day of speaking be too much at this point if it was spread out?
No, definitely not. Definitely.
Okay, what about 2 hours a day?
Yeah, I actually just came off a session yesterday where I was speaking to a client, and it was about an hour and a half session, and it was just fine. In fact, I always feel energized after I finish working with someone. So,
okay, so you know, so if you knew that you could, that your voice will get stronger the more you use it, as long as you pay attention as you do it instead of weaker, what would you do to move forward with your practice?
Okay, well, what I was thinking was that I would have my own radio show.
Okay.
Because I love radio, and I love helping people, and I love talking to people, and I love talking about the astrological cycles.
Okay, so that's one cool thing. Let me ask the question again. If you knew that your voice would get stronger the more that you use it, as long as you use it, you know, sensibly, what else would you do to move forward with your practice?
What else would I do? I'm not sure. I would probably try to do ways to promote myself, which requires me talking.
Okay, cool.
Because I have been concerned for the last couple of years about not using my voice, being quiet, you know, resting my vocal cords. And so I'd kind of like to get out of this mindset, Michael, because
right. So here's how you do it. I'd like you to take that question, write it down.
You can always, you know, if you didn't catch it quite on the air, you can always go back and listen at the archives. But if you knew for a fact that the more you used your voice within reason, the stronger it would get, what would you do to move forward with your business? And if you take some time to just live with that question over the next week or two, your brain will start coming up with all sorts of wonderful answers and solutions for you.
Right.
And again, I'm not saying you won't get stuck again somewhere else down line, but when you do, like a stick that's floating down the river, you won't need therapy. You'll just need another nudge.
Yeah, that's great advice because I absolutely love what I do and I think I'm pretty good at it. And I just really have been, you know, in pain over the physicalness of not being able to, you know, speak my truth.
And, you know, maybe you can be ready to let that go now.
I think so. Well, it's been wonderful talking to you, Michael.
Thank you so much for phoning in, Corey.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we are going to go back to the phones. We'll go to Debbie in Linden, Kentucky. Debbie, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Yes, I wanted to ask you a question. I really like the idea of that exercise of not complaining for 24 hours.
Yeah, the guys in the booth said that they think it would kill them to talk for 24 hours. So good luck with that. I've never actually seen that happen, but I suppose I should put a disclaimer out there.
Yeah, it's probably pretty hard for most people. But I was wondering, like, you know, what if you're talking to friends and family and they start complaining, and usually people, you know, kind of want you to, you know, join in with their complaining to validate that, you know, their complaining is correct. But I mean, how do you stop, you know, having to talk about somebody complaining and join in with them?
That's kind of like the implication there is that somehow, because other people are complaining, a little elf inside your head is going to force your mouth open and force your brain to generate negativity and spew it forth through that mouth. In other words, you do it by not doing it.
Well, no, I mean,
nobody can make you complain.
Join in the conversation.
Just don't join in the conversation.
Okay.
Smile a lot. Nod. Make them think you're listening. They'll love that.
Oh, okay. So just, you know.
In other words, don't get caught up in complaining about their complaining.
Can you even, you know, would it be rude to say, well, you know, I don't think I want to complain about anything today?
Well, it's that, you know, look, you can certainly do that. But I would sort of just from having done this exercise over the years and done it with a number of people, I would sort of warn you a little bit against that because it winds up sounding righteous. It winds up being like the person who gives up smoking and then goes up to everyone else who smokes and goes, oh, how could you do that to yourself?
Right.
You can sort of remind yourself, you know what? I was complaining 4 hours ago and I probably will be again in another 20. So I'm not going to make a big deal out of this.
Right.
I'm just going to play with it.
Okay.
And Debbie, to a certain extent, find out what happens if you don't join in. You may find that they complain louder. You may find that they stop complaining. You may find they start complaining about you, in which case in 18 more hours, you can complain back at them. You may find they stop complaining altogether.
Yeah, I would hope by the, you know, if you give them a blank stare, they kind of get the clue of not, you know, to change the conversation.
Sure, but just know that there's a big difference between not complaining and judging other people for complaining.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't judge them, you know.
I tell you what, it's a fun experiment. It really did. It took me ages. I once actually did it. I'm going to give, after our call, I'm just going to give some sort of extended versions of the experiment. And I once actually pulled it off for a whole month.
Oh, wow.
It took me a year.
I emailed all my friends and told them, let's try this.
But it really is. It's great fun. And do come to the forums at geniuscatalyst.com and let us know how you get on.
Okay, great.
Because I think it's a great experiment. Thank you so much for phoning in, Debbie.
Thank you.
You bet. Let me go ahead and extend the experiment. So, okay, we did the 24 hours. For the next 24 hours, you don't complain to anyone about anything. And if you catch yourself complaining before the 24 hours are up, you just begin the experiment again. Here's like level two. For the next week, and this is all about the power of your word, for the next week, don't gossip or entertain gossip about anyone, from anyone. So if someone persists in attempting to gossip with you, oh my God, did you hear what she did? Oh my, rah, 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 you can ask them to stop. You can explain to them, look, I'm not being a jerk, but I'm doing this experiment because this guy on the radio, it's a long story. Or you can just walk away. And again, if you catch yourself gossiping before the week is up, which is just talking about someone behind their back, usually in a negative way, then just begin again. Level 3. For the next month, don't criticize anyone in your family or inner circle of friends. So that doesn't mean that you can't make requests of them if there's something you'd like them to do differently. But just be honest with yourself as you go. And you know, am I requesting that my husband does the dishes as a genuine request? Gosh, you know, hey, honey, could you do the dishes? That would be great. Or is it a secret complaint, a secret criticism? You know, hey, honey, would you do the dishes?
Or else you'll feel my wrath.
You know, that would be a subtle thing that would let you know that maybe you're actually not being genuine in your request. And again, if you catch yourself criticizing the friend or the family member before the end of the month, just begin again. A couple other things you can play with. Decide what you want to use your word to create in the world and commit to it. So I commit to using my word to promote well-being in the world. I commit to using my word to encourage and appreciate myself and others. I commit to using my word to take complete responsibility for myself and my life. I commit to using my word to create what I want with ease and joy. And when I find myself violating my commitment and using my word in ways that don't promote well-being and don't encourage and appreciate others and don't take responsibility for myself and my world and don't move me towards what I want, I just recommit and start again. And here's the last experiment. For the next hour, don't criticize yourself, not even inside your head. Oh God, I'm terrible at these experiments. I can never do this. If you catch yourself criticizing yourself before the hour's up, you just get to begin again. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks to Tom, Sonny, and Joe in the studio for looking out for me. We'll be back next week with another live show. You can find out more about me and what I do at www.geniuscatalyst.com. And until next week, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk with you then.